Hi, this is Ned Ryan, President of American Majority. I'll be starting a series of podcasts on what I believe it takes to run for office, whether it's for a local school board, state house, or even Congress. I want to start by saying that running for any office requires a plan. Many a would-be candidate has put in a lot of time and effort only to discover they had missed a deadline or failed to contact the right people early enough. Those who approach a campaign with a systematic plan have a much better chance of winning. Ideally, one would have at least 2 years to work on his or her campaign, but it could probably be done a year and a half or an even shorter period if one is willing to make some substantial personal sacrifices of time and money. Of course, the pace intensifies as one nears the actual elections. How much time you have is, as always, dictated by your personal circumstances. But I sum all of this up by saying the more time you have, the better. Now, utilizing a 2-year cycle, the following is a list of steps along the way in a campaign, organized somewhat in chronological order. These steps assume that you have already determined that you are firmly convinced you should be running for office, and that you have consulted with your family and friends concerning this endeavor. I do want to note that most aspects of this list are much more fully addressed in the following podcasts. First of all, running for office will be very stressful. I know that it's hardly surprising to most listening to this, but do not deceive yourself into thinking otherwise. The stress of running for office is one aspect, but another very real part of a campaign is that you will be attacked by your opponent, and in the media, and in a whole host of ways that you cannot now imagine. Similarly, your family will be challenged, and your privacy will be greatly diminished. Friends and neighbors might very well be lost. Believe me when I say it can be hard. Now, I'm not saying this to discourage anyone. I just want everyone to have a realistic view of what running for office is all about. And I also want to add, we need more good men and good women running for office at all levels. Second, study the nature of government. Read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. I know this might sound odd, but give yourself a pop quiz right now and ask yourself, what are the 5 freedoms listed in the First Amendment? How many articles are there in the Constitution? What is the branch of government described in Article 1? You must know what you are getting into. Other suggestions would include reading selections of the Federalist Papers, numbers 6, 10, 51, for starters. Study the nature of politics. Why do some succeed and others don't? You need to get a firm handle on why people vote and what makes for a successful candidate. Study the current political issues. Obviously, if one is running for the school board, the issues will be different in nature than someone running for the state house. But get a good grasp of what the issues are. If you're wanting to run for school board, attend the school board meetings. If you're running for county commission, attend the commission meetings. I'd also say that you should understand who the players are and how a system of government works. If you're running against an incumbent, you'll need to know everything about him or her. How did your opponent vote? Where does he or she get campaign money? And everything your opponent has ever said in public. Clip every newspaper article you can find which quotes your opponent. Keep files on those statements on the issues. Ask political veterans what they can recall about the candidate's positions in the past. Most politicians have several skeletons in their closets that political observers over the years have put into their heads as a mental note. Now, I'm not suggesting that you run a vicious or dirty campaign, far from that. But you'll discover that whoever defines his or her opponent first has the upper hand. I'll discuss this in a later podcast, but to define someone for who he or she actually is, you have to know your facts about what the incumbent has actually done in office. Knowledge is power, and the more you know, the better equipped you are to run a winning race. Develop a core group of people to help you make campaign decisions. While you can never relinquish your control over your campaign, there are a lot of decisions that will be made. So select a handful of trusted friends who will make good advisors. Try to pick at least one who understands and has experience with a local party, and at least one who will have the ability to raise money. That is, a person who knows people who have money and is comfortable and accepted in those circles. Become thoroughly familiar with any government regulations concerning your campaign. Many a campaign has been knocked off the track coming right out of the starting gate by a newspaper headline that the campaign has failed to comply with a filing deadline. In reality, it is not that hard to run a compliant campaign, but it does take diligence. design a campaign strategy. You do not want to find yourself constantly reacting to your opponent. You need a plan which you hope will keep your opponent reacting to you. In short, be proactive, not reactive. Reactive campaigns rarely win. Be like the boxer who is always keeping his opponent off balance with various jabs and feints. This plan will include appropriate polling, if you're running for a higher office, throughout the cycle, not to tell you what to say or to think, but to expose yours, your weaknesses, and your opponent's weaknesses so that you can prepare properly. Design a campaign organization. Even if money is not an issue, you're going to need a lot of help. You must think of yourself as sitting at the pinnacle of a pyramid with your organization supporting you. The broader the base, the higher you'll sit, the better campaign you'll have. Meet the leaders of your local political party. You may not agree with them or have much in common with your local political party. However, it is important that you build a working relationship with them. They can be very helpful to you, but you cannot allow them to take over your campaign. Under no circumstances, however, will you want to fight with them. Infighting will kill a campaign. Meet the elected local officials from your political party. Like the leaders of your local party, you will need to become acquainted with these elected officials. In some areas, their blessing and help might well prove to be the difference between losing and winning a precinct. If you share similar beliefs, you might even be able to work together on literature drops or canvassing of neighborhoods. Now, I say this to begin that you should begin quietly raising money as soon as you are convinced you are going to run for office. However, know the rules of raising money before you've officially declared. What does it take to have an exploratory committee? But I say this because you need to begin raising money as soon as you are sure you're going to run for office and then never stop. It must be stressed that it doesn't matter how good a candidate you are or how good a campaign plan you have. Without money to get the message out, you will rarely, if ever, win. Money is the mother's milk of politics, so start raising money immediately and don't stop. Where do you start raising money? Start with your friends and family. Send a letter to them. Call them. Friends know friends. Start from your inner circle and build outward. I'd also suggest that you consult with issue advocacy groups. They're a wealth of information and can prove a fantastic knowledge base on the issues. Ask them simple questions like, "Where is my opponent vulnerable on the issues?" You will be amazed at the wealth of information on the issues they can provide. As you near an open declaration of running for office, know exactly why you are running for that office. A candidate must be able to clearly communicate why he or she is running and what he or she is running for. Also, be prepared to answer questions on the various issues. I remember an incident where a state Senate candidate was involved in a tough race against an entrenched primary opponent. At a fundraiser, this challenger was asked what the three biggest reasons were as to why he was running. He listed two and then couldn't come up with a third. Don't find yourself in that same position. Oh, and by the way, that candidate lost. I would suggest having 3 to 5 good reasons or issues as to why you are running and put together a good stump speech that will effectively communicate your candidacy. Now I'll be touching on more basic points for consideration in my next podcast as you think about running for office.